So evangelism, doesn't it seem like it's a lot like pulling teeth? You know, something that you got to do, but it's something that you know, it's kind of hard to get excited about because it seems like it's painful. I remember when I was a teenager going to summer camp, and a bunch of us, I think we were in junior high, got together for this evangelism seminar at this Christian camp. And there's a guy there who was an ex-Marine and just a really extremely outgoing person. And his big deal was just do it. And so we went home to share Jesus with our friends, and we kept thinking, we just do it. We got to share Jesus with our friends. And then I went to my youth group, and we had a seminar on evangelism, on sharing Jesus with others. And they sent us door to door. There were door-to-door salesmen in those days. Not many left. But they sent us door to door, and I was scared to death. But I did learn how to share my faith through that seminar anyway at the church. And we did get into some people's homes, and they listened to us, maybe very politely. But it was a scary thing to do, to go door to door. I never did become a door-to-door salesman. And then I got to Bible college, to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and I took a course called Evangelism Explosion. Evangelism Explosion. And it was a system putting together how to share your faith. I learned how to share my faith, more about it, kind of a systematic way of presenting my faith to others. But they brought us over to Moody Church in Chicago, where some of us attended, which was downtown, surrounded by high rises, and they wanted us to follow up on visitors to Moody Church. They filled out those cards in your pew. But there was a problem, because every time you tried to follow up, you couldn't get in. You couldn't get into the apartment building. They had no idea who we were, so we started calling ahead of time. We didn't get into too many homes, apartments. But we did learn to share our faith. But it was hard and it was scary, especially the part of buzzing in Chicago. And before that, buzzing in the neighborhood where my church was. So how in the world do we share our faith with others? How can we share our faith in a way that's not so scary? Is there anything that we can learn from the scriptures? I think that we can if we look at this, really one of the very first examples of someone sharing their faith with others. And so we have here the example of a couple of sets of friends sharing their faith with another. And so the first one is Andrew sharing his faith with Simon. Now, if we could have the map up there, and I want to show you where they were. So they were probably... Oops, I've got to face this the right way. They were probably somewhere around here because Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan River, and they were up from Bethsaida, up the northeastern side of the lake. And so John the Baptist comes along, and John the Baptist points to Jesus, whom not long before that he has baptized. And he points to two of his disciples and he says, hey, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's the Lamb of God. And Jesus notices that he's being talked about. He says, what do you want? What is it? What is he? And they said, well, where are you staying? And Jesus said, now come. Come. And see. And so they go, and there's two disciples of John's that are going with Jesus. Now one of them is not named. And it's interesting because this is in John's gospel. And if you read John's gospel, there's often like one of these other disciples. And it's like John who wrote the gospel, not John the Baptist, but John the disciple. It's like he's just kind of being modest, doesn't want to draw attention to himself. But there's like this other disciple here. But then there's Andrew. And Andrew goes with him. But he says first, he says, Simon, he said, why don't you come to his brother? Why don't you come on along? Because they've gone over there for the day with Jesus. And Andrew says, Simon, hey, bro, he says, we found the Messiah here. the Christ, another word for Messiah. And he said, "Why don't you come and see?" And they go and they see Jesus. And Jesus says, "Simon," he said, "I want you to know that," he said, "you are going to get a new name here. We're going to call you Peter," which means rock. And so they have come and they have seen him. But then there's another story that happens right after that. And so Jesus says, we're going to go up to Galilee, which is up in this area. So they're down here. They're moving up there. Okay, so these guys, so far, most of them are from Bethsaida. And they're walking along. And Jesus says to Philip, who is also from this area, he says, "I want you to come on along, and we're going to go over to Galilee, which is over in this area." And so Philip starts walking with Jesus, and then Philip says, I want my buddy Nathanael to come along. And so he gets Nathanael to come along, invites him to walk, it seems, along with them, and then Jesus sees Nathanael, who's from this area as well. He says, "There you are. What you see is what you get with you. You're a guy, you're not like Jacob back in Jewish history, the guy who was a deceiver. You are what you see is what you get. What you know, that you are without any pretense." And Nathanael looks at him and he says, "Well, how do you know about me?" He said, "Well, I saw you back under the fig tree when you guys were talking." And we don't know if it was because he physically saw him or whether there was something supernatural going on, but it sure impresses Nathanael, who again says what he's thinking. He said, "Oh my goodness." He said, "You are the Christ. You are the one that the prophets talked about. You are the Holy One of Israel." But before that, he has said to them, he said, you know, his brother, his friend has said to him, Jesus has come from Nazareth, which is over in here. So remember, these guys are from up north. They're from the lake country, but down in Nazareth, that's out in the middle of nowhere. And before that, Nathanael has said to his friend, he said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And that's where they say, "Come and see." And he goes and he spends time with Jesus. And as he spends time with Jesus, he is convinced that, wow, somebody good did come from Nazareth. Somebody amazing. And in fact, that is the Messiah, the one that has been prophesied for ages past that has finally come. And he is one of the first ones to proclaim Jesus as Christ. And Jesus says to him, he said, when he comes to him, he said, "You know what's going to happen to you?" He said, "Back with Jacob, the one who was the deceiver, he saw a ladder come down from heaven and angels ascending and descending from heaven, connecting heaven and earth." He said, "You, buddy, you, the one who is what you see is what you get, the one who hides nothing, you are going to see even greater things than that. You are going to see heaven and earth connected." So what can we learn from this? These first two accounts, really, of people sharing their faith with one another. Well, one thing that we can learn is that we start with natural relationships when we're sharing Christ. So think about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist invited his disciples to come to Jesus. And then we have Andrew, who invited his brother Simon, who later became known as Peter. That's the name that we remember him by, the name that Jesus gave to him. And then Philip invited Nathanael as they were walking along. It was friends and family that were first invited to follow the Lord. You see, the thing that happens is that often it's through relationships that people come to Jesus. And this is increasingly so in this day and age. So it used to be, maybe when some of us were growing up, or some of those even before us, it was information that convinced people of what is true. And then we moved into a new period of time. And thinkers call this the postmodern time, when people are deciding things less in terms of information. There's not necessarily anything right or wrong about this. It's just the way that people think. They're thinking more in terms of relationships. And maybe it's always been that way, but it seems like it's more that way now. And so some of you, you remember that Billy Graham, the great evangelist, died a few months ago. In Billy Graham, how many of you went to a Billy Graham crusade? So Billy Graham would speak to stadiums full of people. And I was talking to one of my sons who's in his 30s. And I didn't realize it. He grew up in the church. He knew Billy Graham's name, but he really didn't know much about Billy Graham because Billy Graham was in his 90s or something when he died. And so he hadn't really seen Billy Graham. He said, well, what did he do? I said, well, he would fill these large stadiums full of people, and then he would give a public invitation, and hundreds, thousands of people would walk down to the front and give their life to Jesus. And here's what amazed me about this is my son who knows and loves the Lord. He said, why would people do that? They don't even know him. I thought, wow, there's a change in generations and in generational thinking. Because we moved into an age in postmodern times when we've moved past this time when it's all information that is causing people to make decisions about, to time when they're using relationships. It's really a time more of feelings that cause people to decide. That's why people are so irrational today. But again, nothing wrong, right or wrong. It's just a difference. And so that's why relationships now are even more important, perhaps, than they ever were. And so what we look at is that there are stages in which people come to Christ. So there's a guy by the name of Engel that studied the stages in which people come to Christ. And so if you think about it, now in this day and age, people are growing up with less and less of a Christian background. And so they have some basic decisions that they need to make before they come to Jesus. And one of those decisions is there even a God? Okay, and is God even up there? Or are Christians safe? They might be asking. And after there's is there a God, then they might ask the question about, is God Jesus? And then what are the basics of what Christian truth is about? And all the way up the ladder, a decision to follow Jesus. And it's relationships, of safe relationships with friends and family, that will move people closer and closer to following Jesus. So that we've known for years that most people come to Jesus through the influence of a friend. It's the same thing in terms of coming to church. How many of you came to this church or a church because someone invited you? Okay. How many of you came because you got a flyer in the mail, or you saw an ad in the newspaper or online? Ouch. Okay. Alrighty. How many of you came because, I don't know, I mean, what are some other reasons? But, I mean, the point is that the reason that we come to church, the reason that we come to faith, well, let's try it the other way. How many of you came to faith because someone pointed you to Jesus? Yeah, look at that. It's a relationship that points people to Christ. And we see that very clearly in this passage as well. And so it's really the family and friends plan. So our telephone companies, when they started this, the phone plans, they knew it was friends and family, because it's friends and family. How many people will you sign up to spend money with, open your bank account with, give a discount or rate for, except friends and family, right? They knew it, and they're making lots of money over that because of it. It's friends and family that will cause us to do things that maybe we wouldn't do with anybody else, but we would with them. And so think about it. If you got something you want to do this afternoon, It just happens to be cornermen. But let's say you want to do something else. Let's say you want to watch a ball game. Or let's say you want to go out to eat. Who are the people in your life that you're going to ask? Who will do that the drop of a hat? Who's going to take a Facebook invitation, right, for those who are on the younger side? It's the people that you live with, or the people that you're close to. It's your close friends. It's your close family. And that's what was going on here. These guys were literally walking from the center of Israel up to the north side. They were walking home. There were no buses, no airplanes in those days. And they were just calling their buddies over. Hey, come on over and listen to this guy. That's what was going on there. And that's what's going on here. And that's what we can do even this afternoon. Hey, who will join us in a couple hours? Friends and family. It's the friends and family plan. We begin with those warm, those relationships with those people that we are closest to. And then what we do as we look at is we bring them to Jesus. So notice what was going on here. John the Baptist. This is really amazing because John is the guy who says, he must increase, I must decrease. So here's the guy, he has just baptized Jesus. He points, you know, he sends his friends to Jesus. He said, there he is. There's the Son of God. There's the Lamb of God. And then he steps back and he lets them go. Because he knows it's Christ that they need. And Jesus is saying, come. Come and see. And Andrew says to Simon, he says, hey, look, buddy, we found the Messiah. Go and check him out for yourself. And Philip to Nathanael, we found the one that Moses wrote about. Well, how do we know? Hey, go check him out. Go and see. Check Jesus out. You see, it's not about inviting people to meet you or the pastor, please. Okay, or your friends or my friends at Valley View Alliance Church. We have some wonderful friends here, some wonderful folks. It's not about us. It's not inviting them to meet Billy Graham. Well, they're not going to meet Billy Graham anymore. Or whoever the latest and greatest evangelist in the world happens to be if he or she comes to town. It's about inviting people to meet Christ. It's Jesus that we are bringing people to. They don't need us. We need Jesus as much and more than our friends do. We're inviting people to meet Christ. My friend John Casey, whom I worked with, a colleague when I very first was in ministry, put it this way. He said, effective evangelism. Okay, evangel meaning the gospel, is bringing a person one step closer to Jesus. And so you think, you know, we think, you know, we gotta draw the net. We gotta see someone cross the line. No, effective evangelism might be talking to someone or having a conversation in such a way that they know that maybe Christians aren't quite as strange as they think that they are, you know. Or it might be letting them know that, hey, there is a God. You know, Maureen and I have found in our conversations that it's just opening the door to our lives. And so talking with them about the stuff that we would talk to Christians about. You know, hey, this is hard. Yeah, I hate, yeah, man, I'm sick today, but I'm praying. I'm trusting God. Or I don't know, you know, you got to be, you don't want to be overly religious. You don't want to be in people's face, but just having an open door like Nathaniel did, an open door to people's lives so they can see what's going on, because people need Jesus and they can see Christ in us. As we give ourselves over to Christ, then Christ lives his life in and through us. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus and Jesus that we're seeking to point them to, because when we get them to Christ, then they will find, as we have, that Jesus is and will be all that they need. And so you think about what's going on in this passage here. So you got the disciples coming to Jesus one by one by one. Such a sweet story at the beginning of the Gospels, as Jesus and the other disciples are inviting these common, ordinary men to come and spend several years with him. And as they come to him like that, they are convinced because they find that Christ is all that they need. And so it is for our friends that we point to Jesus. There's something supernatural going on. We didn't come to Jesus because we thought it was a good idea. We came to Jesus because the Father was drawing them. And so it is with our friends and with our neighbors. God is not done building his kingdom. He is not done building his family. He continues to draw people to his son because his son is worth of all of the glory in all of the universe, and he wants more to worship his son. And so let's trust him to be drawing people to his son. And the scriptures tell us that his word isn't going to go back empty. His word has gone out throughout this area, throughout the world, throughout the centuries. You see on billboards all over this area and all around the world, and words that's going out on the internet and all over the place where his word is proclaimed. It's not going to go out empty like nobody will hear it. God will honor his word, and he will use his spirit to convince the world of righteousness and of righteousness and of judgment, and he will speak to people by his spirit. His spirit is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. It's the spirit of God that is drawing people to Jesus, and it's the spirit of God that is speaking. That's why we pray. So this Wednesday night, we are getting together. This is a live stream of Alliance folks from all across the country, and there will be some around the world that I know will be linked in. We have some friends here from the Arabic church that meets on Saturday nights that will gather with us. It'll be a time of praising God and the ladies study and the men study. And come out. We want to do this on a regular basis alone and with others to praise God and to pray, because the Bible says that as when we ask that the Lord will hear us, and we're praying that our brothers and sisters, our friends, will come to Jesus and will expand the family, not for the sake of us, but for the sake of his name, because his name is worthy of great praise. And because people need Jesus as much as we do, they will be satisfied in him. How awful it's got to be to go through life without Jesus. Jesus satisfies our deepest longings. He makes us who God created us to be, gives us a foretaste of what is to come. And so come on out Wednesday night. Let's pray. If you're free, let's praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's seek him together. We'll do that on a regular basis. I'm hoping at least seasonally. I'm hoping maybe monthly after that. A time of getting all of us together to pray. Because we need the Lord, and we need the Lord to touch our lives and the lives of our friends. Because Jesus is the one and our satisfying that compels us to share him with others. And as we, by God's grace and by the nudging of his spirit, share him with our friends, then Jesus will do the convincing. Jesus will do the rest. You see, we can invite people with confidence. We don't have to go around manipulating as if we're a door-to-door salesman. Maybe some of you have done that. They don't even do that anymore. But you know, the advertisers and good people, good communicators, they do all kinds of things to try and convince us to buy. And we do all kinds of things to try and convince our friends to do this or to do that. We don't need to manipulate people. We don't need to do crazy things, because it's God's spirit that is drawing people in. You say, Lord, I'll be your tool. I'll be your hands and your tool. And invite people to come to Jesus, and Jesus will do the rest. You see, the Lord uses natural relationships. Now, Don Everett says that the difference, the way that we share Jesus, there's a couple of different ways that we can do it. And Maureen has offered she hasn't offered, but she's agreed to let me demonstrate a couple of different ways. So my sweet, dear wife, Maureen, okay? So if Maureen was not a Christian, okay, so one way that I could share faith with her would be like this. Okay, jujitsu, I need some of the kids to help me. What kind of noises would I make? Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, so that's the way that often that we think about sharing our faith. How effective do you think that would be? How much do you think she would want to listen to what I got to say? Probably not, but isn't it the way we think we got to attack? But what if it was like this? What if I were to look her in the eyes? What if I were to actually to touch her? Okay. What if I knew how to dance? Okay. How much farther would we get? How much more effective do you think this would be in waltzing her to Christ? You think it would work? Okay. We'll shut off the lights. Okay. Thank you very much. The problem is we think it's about us. We think that we're the ones that convince people. It's the Spirit of God that does it. And he will use the relationships that he has put in our lives to do it. So I need some kids to come help me. Kids, come on up. I ran off 100 of these this morning. Let's get rid of these over the next couple hours. All right? So let's pass these around. I want you guys to get rid of these. Give them to people to pass out to their friends. Okay? We talked in the class that I taught this morning. We talked about the gift, how some are especially gifted and called to prayer. Would some of you be praying for these as they go out? And kids, you can invite your friends as well. Do you want some more? Okay, let's invite people to come and have a good time. As we planned this thing, we said, you know, this is not about raising money. We're not going to raise a dime. What's that? Oh, pass them out to people. I want everybody to take one or two or three or four or five, and let's get these out. I don't want to see one left in the church anymore. And let's ask the Lord to take them and use them, because there's a great harvest coming, and the Lord has called us to bring in the sheaves. Would you please stand, and let's celebrate together.